Okay, so before you say anything, just know that I love you very, very much, and I appreciate you, and I just adore all the support and love. But you know, these past few weeks have been insanely busy because I've had competitions, I've had a lot of work stuff I've had to focus on, and the Anchor app was acquired by Spotify, so it's going to change a bunch of the analytics. So I was learning about that, and I got picked up on another platform, which meant more listeners, and my numbers were going all insane. So I was trying to keep a handle on that too. So I do apologize that it's been so infrequent that I've been posting an episode, but keep in mind that I will always come back. Sometimes it'll be every week like I really want it to be, and sometimes it won't be, but I think I really need to nip it in the bud and like stick to a stricter schedule so people won't get bored of me and be like, okay, he's done, bye. But anyways, I hope you all are doing so, so well. I am very busy, but it's great. It's a good thing. So, this week I wanted to dive into a little bit more of the Christian upbringing that I had, because I really was thinking about everything that I have learned about faith and religion and things that I learned in the church and some lessons that I still kind of live by today versus what I was being taught as a child. A lot of the things have changed over time. I mean, if religion is your bag, by all means, enjoy it. But for me, really, I can't say that it was a waste of time, because I think it really had a play in how things turned out for me. I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty decent human being. I have a lot of empathy for others. And one of the things that has remained throughout the course of my entire life has been the guilt complex that comes along with being involved in a religious organization. I think that's the only way that I can describe it, is the fact that, you know, we're preached to in a way that really puts a lot of fear and a lot of guilt and a lot of, you know, self-reflection upon ourselves. And I mean, I remember being taught that just thinking of doing something is the same as doing it in God's eyes. And that used to scare me to death, because, you know, sometimes, you know, thank God everyone can't read minds, because there would be some thoughts that people would see in my brain that would make them, you know, think that I was a terrible person. So I've had to live with that kind of guilt. Like, I can't, it's really hard for me to hold a grudge. It's really hard for me to, I can't even kill a bug without feeling bad about it, unless it's a fucking spider, bye. But anyway, I just have this incredible guilt complex that, you know, I could probably get away with something, but I'm too afraid to actually do it, to test it out, to figure out if I'm right or not. Like, even when it comes to things like stopping at a stop sign, or, you know, things like that, like stupid things. Like, I get mad when people don't stop at stop signs or use their signal or anything. I think if you were in the car with me ever, I would be saying a lot of choice words. I mean, as an adult, the little things don't really get to me as much anymore, but I just remember being taught as a child that, you know, since God can read our minds and know what we're thinking at all times, thinking about doing something is just as bad as doing it. So, like, no one is immune to that. And that was kind of scary. It's also scary to think that, you know, being who I am, we had a lot of sermons that would bring up homosexuality and things like that. And, you know, as a kid, it didn't really click with me until my, you know, teen years, like puberty and things like that, when I was starting to figure things out. That's when it started to bother me, and that's when I started to notice it more. but it was always preached against, you know. And it's so funny because looking back, as you know, as an adult, I can see things a lot more clearly now, because back then it was all happy, good times, and as a child doing all the children's activities and learning about Jesus and singing the songs and being happy all the time. But I think as you mature and grow in the church, you start to learn more and more like levels of it. And the homosexuality thing came up, and they always would preach, you know, love your neighbor and be nice to everyone. Jesus loves everyone, which was great. And I do believe that to this day. However, it seemed to me, as I got older, that I started to see little cracks in the facade, because one, if you went against them or disagreed with them in any way, that whole guarantee of unconditional love was thrown into question. And I have seen churches turn their backs on people because, you know, they didn't agree on doctrine or things like that. And they turned from super happy family people to, you know, your garbage on the street. And I've also felt, and this might be my own fault, is, you know, I used to hold religious people, when I was one, to a higher standard because, one, you know, we were on a mission to, you know, spread the gospel and get the word out and save the world. That's how it was presented to us. And, you know, I would always hold the people in power to a higher standard. And that's probably my own ignorance and my own fault. But there have been people higher up in the churches that we've been to who turned out to be really cruddy human beings. And it really, and I guess you can learn this lesson anywhere. Like, it really made me feel like, you know, these people are not as great as they say they are. And, you know, coming to realize that was really difficult because I was already at a point in my life where I was struggling with my faith and trying to figure out what it was that I actually believed. And to see these people who I was supposed to be looking up to and emulating being really shady and terrible people and having all these problems, all of a sudden, like, they weren't all that great. And I was like, well, then why am I looking up to these people? Why am I, you know, trying to impress them? And why am I, you know, even bothering? I'm not going to go into specifics in this particular episode, because I think there are people who listen to this show who will know the people that I'm speaking of, and I don't want it to come across as disrespectful, because I mean, everyone has their own story and everyone, you know, has their own reasons for doing things, but these people really damaged my view of what being a church person was supposed to be. I mean, it had a lot to do with, you know, child abuse or, you know, just a bunch of controversy that didn't sit well with me. But I think growing up in the church at the time was a good idea because of where my family was at the time. You know, my father, he was a drinker back in the day. And I think he found Jesus at a critical point in his life because at that time, my parents had already been divorced. And I can't remember if it was before or after he met my stepmother that he found this church. And he went headfirst into the Baptist faith. And he never really looked back. Like, he quit drinking. He got super involved in the church. All of a sudden, we were going to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and there was a midweek service. Like, basically, any time the doors were open, we were there. And I remember being very, very young, probably 5 or 6. And I thought it was fine because, you know, it was something to do. And I was hanging out with other kids and learning about all this new stuff. And we learned very young about what accepting Christ as your personal savior was. And that's basically saying, you know, that you will pledge your life to God and you realize that you have sinned and you ask him into your heart and save you because it'll keep you out of hell. And we were taught that, you know, nothing can take this salvation away from you. So it was a one-time deal. And I remember having this conversation with a friend of my dad's from the church. We had dinner at his house with his family. And we all went into this office room at their house alone with this friend of my dad's. And we read some Bible verses and we did a prayer about asking Jesus into your heart and salvation and all that jazz. So we were saved is what we call it. We became children of God and we were saved. So, and that's all it took. And I remember in the Baptist church thinking, you know, they always said that nothing could take your salvation away, blah, blah, blah. But then you look at, like, my dad was raised Catholic, so he was raised in a completely different structure with, like, confession and all that stuff. But I remember it's always, like, sold in a way that, you know, no one could ever take your salvation away. So even if you do it and you become this, you know, horrible Satan worshiper with sacrifices and things like that, you will still get into heaven because nothing can take the salvation away, which was cool. I thought that was a really cool deal. But anyway, I must have been 6 or 7. And then after you receive your salvation, they fill up this bathtub like place. It's called a baptismal, and it's more or less a big bathtub that has a hole, like a big space in the wall where everyone can look in and see you. Anyway, you get baptized and there you are. Amen. And there's a lot of like different things of baptism. Like, and I guess in Catholics, they get sprinkled with water, or I've seen the videos of taking the newborn babies and like dunking them under the water. Well, we were in the water with the pastor man, and he would say all these words, and then he would say, you know, buried with him, blah, blah, blah. And then he would dunk us under the water. And, you know, we were raised to live a new life in Christ and blah, blah, blah. And everyone clapped. But anyway, so I was saved at a very young age. And I really think that it was before I really understood everything, because I don't really have super clear memories of making the decision to do it. I feel like at the time it was just something that we did, and it was something that my dad wanted us to do, so we did it, you know. I'm one of those, you know, listen to your parents type people. But so we continued in the church. We got involved with all kinds of activities, and you know, from the time I was 6 or 7 all the way until I was about 20, I think, or 20 or 21 is when I really started to resist. We were at the church all the time. We did like Christmas programs. We did choirs. We did youth groups and all that stuff. And it was great. Like, I don't have any negative memories of myself being in the church. I just feel that a lot of the times these religions or belief systems, they prey on the young and the weak-minded, because eventually you start thinking for yourself and you start realizing that, you know, maybe this isn't for me. And that happened to me. And I know my dad is not happy that we have all fallen out of church. And I personally do not believe that I have to go to church to be a good Christian, because to me, I've always felt that church was like a coliseum that everyone goes to kind of prove how godly they are. And that's just not my bag. I don't have to prove to anyone how godly I am or anything. I can worship and have my own relationship with God. It doesn't have to require anybody else involved. And I mean, I do still have spiritual beliefs that I kind of cling to. And I mean, they're not as stringent as I was raised to believe. But I think that there is a higher power up there and that they are, you know, they are in control. The Bible, I believe, is not something that we should be taking verbatim. First of all, because it's, you know, thousands of years old. And second of all, it has been translated so many times before it comes in English. And so sometimes I think things can get a little bit lost in that translation. And so it might come across that way, but it won't mean the same thing. Like for example, like there are TV shows, and I remember listening to this when I was in Germany, and they would have American TV shows, like American sitcoms, and they would have them dubbed over in German. And I remember my German friends talking about how American shows, when they go to translate the jokes, they're not funny in German. So I feel like that's a good example of how things can be lost in translation, is how they could mean one thing in one way to a certain language or culture, and then you translate it to say something to someone else of another culture or language, and it just doesn't cross and doesn't get to their, it doesn't get to them. So like, I feel like the Bible is a good example of that. I do believe that it is an epic series of stories. And I think that, it would be great to make some really good movies out of it for purely entertainment purposes. And it's so hard because, you know, being raised in the Baptist church, we were always taught that we were the only way. We were the ones that were right. We were the only way that anyone can get to heaven, and that we had to go out and save every person that we could because it would make us better Christians. And, you know, what are the odds that I would have been lucky enough to be a part of the only way to heaven? I mean, that's how it felt back in those days. Like, it was so awesome and incredible that, you know, by the grace of God and by luck or whatever you want to call it, I was in the right religion and the right belief system. But as I got older, I was like, you know what? I'm sure every religion can probably say the same thing. Because I think all religion is rooted in the same little seed of information. And it just kind of branches off in the different directions. But I think you can trace it back, and it all leads back to the same thing. So really, who is the right person? And I think one day we're going to find out. Hopefully I'm kind of on the right track, but we have no way of knowing until the end comes and, you know, it all happens. If you're an atheist listening to this, you know, congratulations. I don't have the mental capacity to believe that there could be nothing. I do believe a lot in science. But I do have some spiritual beliefs. I don't know if it's part imagination or whatever, or like wishful thinking. I just hope that I am somewhat in the right place when the time comes. But well, that's one of the things we just don't know. But my dad and other people who are so devout, it's so incredible to me, and I'm very impressed that people can put their faith so deeply into a belief system like this. And my dad, I mean, I love him to death, and, you know, he is my hero and I love him. But you have to know that, like, he will not do anything without praying or consulting the Bible first. And that's always something that he talks about praying and being right with God and things like that. And so one time, while we're on the subject of being right with God, one time we had a friend, my sister and I had a friend who was trans, and she was transitioning from female to male. And my parents would make remarks about her all the time, like negative remarks about gay people and trans people and things like that. And, you know, it got to the point where it got really irritating. And one day I called them out on it. And I said, you know, you can't judge people like that. Like, why do you feel like you can judge people? It's not nice. It's not fair. And my parents said to me and my sister, and I'll never forget this. They said that if you're right with God, then you can judge. And in my brain, my brain literally exploded, because I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, you are going to say that you are right with God. I don't think there is a human being on the planet who can say that they are 100% right with God. And that really irritated me. And that was when I was 18 or 19. I was already like well over it by then, but I was still going to church because, you know, I was still living under my parents' roof and they were supporting me and all that. So I felt like, you know, we had to follow their rules. So we went to church with them and all that. But anyways, that was a real like eye-opener for me. And there were many times where we would have discussions regarding gay people and gay rights and things like this. And there were times where I would get so angry that I wanted to come out to them, like just drop it on them like a bomb. But at the same time, I never wanted it to come out in a way that it would be, you know, negative or out of anger, because I feel like I would regret it. Granted, you know, I haven't sat down with my parents and, you know, had a cup of coffee and talked about this with them, but I am fairly certain that they know already. And, you know, it is what it is. And it's something that we don't talk about. And, you know, honestly, even if I were straight, I wouldn't talk about my personal life with my parents. Like, that's just not something that we talked about. We talked about everything else under the sun, but, you know, personal life, I kind of kept to myself regardless. But the relationship with my parents is great. Like, they're very proud of me, and they always talk about how proud they are of me and all that jazz. And they're really happy that I'm happy, and they're proud of me and all that jazz. So, like, I don't feel like it would change anything if we sat down to have a conversation. But I also, on the same note, don't feel like having the conversation would be a very comfortable thing. And, you know, and if you want to come out to your parents or come out in general, do it. But just make your own decision. It's not like I can't even really explain it. Like, I don't want to have the conversation. I don't feel like I need to have the conversation. I don't think it would change anything, so I don't understand why I would have to have the conversation, because it wouldn't change anything, because I am 98% sure that they already know, and so bringing it up would cause, like, you know, unnecessary stress. You know, my parents are old. I don't want them to have to face this and then, you know, have coronaries and something happened to them. I would never be able to live with myself, because there was a time where I felt that I wanted to tell them, because I didn't want them to, you know, I didn't want something to happen to them and then they have something that I could have told them to let them know the real me and they missed that opportunity. But I don't feel like that anymore. I am me, and my orientation is not going to change who I am as a person. So I don't feel like it's an important conversation to have. Just like when I meet a new group of friends, that's not the first thing that comes out of my mouth. I let them figure it out on their own, because obviously it doesn't take a lot of time. And then they accept me, and then they move on with their lives. And if you don't like it and you can't be friends with me, then don't. I really don't care. But luckily, for the most part, everyone in my life is wonderful and I love them. My family is great and I have it really easy. But I'm a little bit off track. But religion in itself is not a bad thing. It's not something that everybody needs, though. And I don't look down on people who are very clingy to their religious beliefs. It's only when you start talking down to me and getting in my face about it and telling me that I'm wrong and things like that, that it causes a problem. Or say, like, people trying to put religion into the government and politics, that's a problem for me too, because honestly, not everyone's going to believe the same thing religiously. So, you know, using the Bible as a platform in the government, one, is not necessary, and two, according to the Constitution, is not allowed. But, you know, I could go all day on that. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is, religion for me, it helped to shape who I am today. Would I have done, what if I could go back and do things differently, would I have changed anything? And I don't really know the answer to that. I want to say no, but on the other hand, I want to say that it would change a little bit. I think I have a less guilty conscience about things if I didn't spend so much time in the church, because the guilt complex was like crammed down your throat. Like, you have to be a good person and you have to save the world and, you know, all this pressure. I'd like to think that it wouldn't have changed who I am, but I have no way of knowing. I just know that at 31 years of age, I don't feel that religion or church is necessary for me to live a good life, a happy life, and a fulfilling life. And if you feel like you enjoy church and that you need to go and it does something for you, by all means, you do it. Like, I am all about everyone doing what they feel is right and what they feel will make them happy. That's why I don't understand why people get so bent out of shape when people don't agree with them on things. Like, and I don't want to get into any other huge debates, but you know what I'm saying. It's really difficult for me to understand why people are like that. I'm very much a live and let live type of person. And that's how I like to live my life. And that's how I like to spread, you know, my sparkly energy around. Because I want everyone to be happy. What makes one person happy may not make another person happy. And that's part of living life as a human, is finding what makes you happy and then doing it and being allowed to do it. So I hope this rant made any type of sense. I didn't mean to do it all in one, like, go, but once I started talking, I just kept going. And I hope that people can relate to this. I'm very, very happy about the feedback I'm getting for the podcast. I've gotten some emails. The listener numbers have gone up since they started hosting it on, I think it's Podbean is what the last platform was that agreed to take it on. And the numbers went through the roof when that happened. I don't know if it's related, but, you know, it is what it is. But I really hope that you guys absorb these words and enjoy it and like it and share it and do whatever. Email me some suggestions for things. Because I do have a list that I'm looking at for the next couple of episodes to try to figure out what I'm going to be talking about next. If you have any questions or concerns or complaints, yes, I'll read the complaints and then I'll laugh at them and then talk about them on the show. But if you have any reason to speak to me about anything, if you're not on my Facebook, you can email me at jaygreer@yahoo.com, jaygreer@yahoo.com. I really hope to see the listener numbers continue to go up, because they certainly have in the most popular episode, while I'm on here, the most popular of all the episodes has been the ABCs of Living Your Best Life. And everyone is loving that. And it's by far the most listened to episode. And that's really awesome, because I enjoyed making that one so, so much. And I believe it's episode 12, if you want to go back and give it a listen. But I think that's all I have for this episode, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and I'll be back. I really want to say next week, and I think it could be possible, because I do have a list of topics that I'm going to be working on. But I will see you next time, and you guys go out and smile and spread happiness, because we need a lot of that in the world right now. And just, you know, go out and do what I would do, and that's just spread glitter and sparkleness and happiness and cheer, because we all need to be each other's cheerleaders right now in this world, in this life, because things are a mess, and hopefully they're going to get better, because, you know, it can't get worse than it already is. But that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I'll see you next time.